This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And today the Roaches join us for a holiday concert here in Studio 4A. The Roaches have been on the soundtrack of many listeners' lives for longer than they'd care to admit. The three sisters are known for gorgeous harmonies and songs as often humorous as heartfelt. Terry Roach sings in the highest range, Maggie on the low end, and Suzzy's voice blends in somewhere in the middle. They're from New Jersey originally and, yes, started singing together as kids. Over the years, they've performed as individuals, as a duo. They've collaborated with other artists, issued a dozen CDs, collected a trunk full of glowing reviews, and a loyal following. If you'd like to talk with Suzzy, Maggie, and Terry Roach about their music, their careers, and their inspiration, our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. The Roaches' latest CD is called Moonswept. It's their first in over a decade. Welcome to you all, and thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
So what do you want to start with?
Well, we thought since we are from New York City and it is holiday time, we'd like to do like a New York City holiday number.
Go ahead.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamonds shines down through the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chill in the weather.
Dum, 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 dum.
Love knows no season, love knows no clime, romance can blossom any old time. Here in the open, we're walking and hoping together.
Dum, 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 dum.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Going away is a bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking in a winter wonderland.
Maggie, Terry, and Suzzy Roach are here with us in Studio 4A. Of course, the meadow in that case being the sheep meadow in Central Park.
Yes, exactly.
Be, yes, yeah. Those accents, of course, completely foreign to you all.
Yes, well, not really.
You grew up in New Jersey, completely a different accent than that, of course, and started singing together as kids. Do you remember the first time? Was there a first time that is embedded in your consciousness?
I actually have a first memory of Maggie and Terry singing. It was in the car, and they were singing in harmony the song Sacred Heart of Jesus, which I've never heard again.
And when did I know from reading other, we've talked, in fact, together before, your dad used to haul you out on the holidays and put you in front of visitors to the house in your nightgowns and you would sing along.
Lots of people's fathers do that to them. We're outing that situation here.
Actually, what he really did was write political songs and make us stand on the back of a truck and sing them.
Really? Was he a budding Tom Lehrer?
No, it was really our father's best friend in our small little town in New Jersey called Park Ridge. He was the head of the Democratic Party in the town, which lost every single year that we lived there.
he was the one.
Yes, exactly. And we sang for the local politicians.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of songs?
Did you ever meet Adler or Graham and Ford?
They're running for council and they won't be ignored. Say hello to Bob Graham, he's your kind of man. And when you see him on the council, you're going to be glad he ran.
That sort of thing.
And of course, I guess royalties immediately went to Woody Guthrie.
Then there was the one that went like, who's got the guts of only a few?
Ned. Whose interest lies with me and with you? Ned.
There was the one for President Johnson, don't put gold water in the tank. Just put that Johnson tiger in the tank was the one. Yeah, it went on and on and on.
On and on and on like that. Yes. And yet you all managed to survive that.
Well, look at us. No, yes, we did.
We got to leave school and go traveling around with the governor of New Jersey on the back of a truck in order to sing these songs. And that was what got me hooked into it, this idea that you could leave school and go do this instead of be sitting in class.
And have you ever found yourself driving to a gig 3 hours into Minnesota somewhere where you regretted that decision?
Yes.
How would you know?
Yeah, how could you tell?
A lot of public radio stations out there that some of us go to visit, too. So we have some experience of this. It's been a remarkable career. You've not had, I guess everybody starts out with the idea that you're going to be stars. And, well, you're stars of a kind. You never had that great big hit ever.
No, we never did. But I don't know if we really started out thinking we were going to be stars. I think we were trying to have fun. And we were starting out singing on the street, actually.
Yeah.
So that was kind of... We just were doing it for, you know, putting out the hat and seeing how much money we could make.
We probably did pretty well.
We did. And we used to sing Christmas carols. That's how we literally started doing it as the three of us.
I think these days people think more in terms of being stars than we kind of came up in the 60s where it was more like, you know, you were trying to say something important, that sort of thing. I think we grew out of that soil.
Let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. Of course, we're speaking with the Roaches, Suzzy, Maggie, and Terry Roach are with us here in Studio 4A. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's start with Nancy. Nancy is with us from Taft in California.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes. My question is, the first time I heard this group, I went out and bought everything that they'd ever recorded. I just loved the harmony. But I was wondering if they could give me an update on the gentleman from Darfur that was on one of the recordings.
Oh, Francis Bach. That was a recording, Zero Church, that we did up at Harvard. It's a very unusual collection of prayers. And Francis Bach, who had been captured as a young boy and made to be a slave when he was eight, I think he's doing very well. Last I heard, he lives in Cambridge and travels around on behalf of his fellow country people from Sudan, you know, trying to stop the situation there.
Yes. Well, it was a beautiful recording, and I really want to thank you for bringing, you know, including him on that recording. I do say a prayer for him every time I hear the word Darfur.
Oh,
that's nice.
So thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call, Nancy. Mm-hmm. You've collaborated, I guess, with a lot of different people, and I guess some ways, the first recording that I read about is backing up Paul Simon.
Yes, actually, we did. Yeah, Maggie and I started out. There was a record called There Goes Ryman Simon.
I think some people bought that record, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and there was a song on there called Was a Sunny Day, and that's me and Maggie singing along in the background on that one.
Yeah, Maggie, how'd you meet Paul Simon?
Oh, gosh, I found out from somebody that he was conducting a songwriting workshop at NYU, and I laid in wait for him in the foyer of the building and pounced when he walked through the door.
Mm-hmm. Other stalkers have not fared so well.
That's right. No, he was very gracious, and he said that Terry and I could come to the class if we wanted to.
And Terry, what happened? Going to class with Paul Simon is one thing. Singing on the record is another.
Well, for me, the way I remember that experience was that Maggie pounced on him, and then the next week he had invited us both to come in, so we both came in. And I remember I was so tongue-tied that when he asked me my name, I said Paul.
When everybody knew it was Ringo. obviously, you impressed him, from there, was that the moment where you thought, well, maybe we can make a living at doing this?
No, I still haven't come to that moment.
We're talking with the Roaches. Maggie, Terry, and Suzzy Roach are with us here in Studio 4A. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Over the past few days, we've been asking listeners who have a favorite Roaches song from the past if they'd like to send in some requests. We're going to get to that when we come back from the break, but I'd like to read this email that we got, this from Paul. Rumor has it the real Angels will stop to listen when the girls from Jersey sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Personally, I think Road Rage would vanish if this song was built into car stereos and would play when the driver's blood pressure spiked. However, I would really like to hear the ladies perform Stairway to Heaven. We can't promise that.
Which Paul would that be, by the way?
I don't know, but it doesn't begin with an S. It doesn't begin with an S. We'll be back with the Roaches in just a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
All of that time in hell to spend for kissing the married men. All of that time in hell to spend for kissing the married men.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today, a special live performance by the Roaches. The three sisters are Suzzy, Maggie, and Terry. Suzzy and Terry on vocals and guitar. Maggie on vocals, guitar, and piano. We'll hear plenty more music this hour. We've posted several songs also at our website, npr.org/talk. We've also been asking you to email requests for the bands. We'll get to those a little bit later. If you want to talk with Suzzy, Maggie, and Terry Roach about their music, their careers, and their inspiration, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And how about another tune?
All right. Well, this one is another holiday one, but actually this is one that Terry wrote, and it's called Star of Wonder.
Star of wonder in the heavens, wonder what you want of me, should I follow you tonight? Star of wonder, star of wonder, I am just a lonely shepherd, watching from a distant hill, why do you appear to me? Star of wonder, if you will, in the morning they'll come looking for the shepherd on the hill. What would make her leave her flock? For surely she must love them still. Star of wonder in the heavens, are you just a shining star, or should I follow you tonight? Star of wonder, star wonder, shining bright.
Do you have to close your eyes to sing harmony?
It helps.
Yeah? It helps listen?
I think when you can see, I think your sight gets in the way of your hearing. That's why there's so many great blind musicians.
Well, I was just watching, who is the guy from Italy who sings with his eyes closed? He was on, I don't know.
Bocelli?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, I was watching him last night, and I was just thinking about him as I was singing. Maybe that's why my eyes were closed.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Jonathan. Jonathan calling us from Howell in Michigan.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Well, I totally off the holiday subject. I was wondering if I could bring up an old memory. What was it like working with Steven Spielberg?
Oh, that was great.
What did you do with Steven Spielberg?
Well, I've worked with Steven several times. So I was actually in a movie that his then wife Amy Irving was the star of,
Crossing the Atlantic.
That's right. And he came and watched our scene together, and then he was so kind to come up to me and tell me I was a natural. Of course, that was my last acting job. But we also, he sort of is a producer of Tiny Toons. And
that's exactly what I was thinking.
They came to sketch us while we did a show, and then they wrote a cartoon based on us, you know, the roaches, only we were bugs.
I guess he was the very first to make that analogy.
Yes, well, he was the first.
He's very intelligent.
Thanks very much for the call, Jonathan.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank
you. Okay. That, by the way, telling most of that story was Suzzy Roach. And let's go on now to Finley. Finley with us from North Carolina.
Hey, how you doing? A great program. Hey, I'm a choral musician and a singer here in Eastern North Carolina. I love your harmonies, and I'm very interested to know, how do you come up with them? Kind of intuitively sit around and sing, or do you write them out, or what?
No, we fight note for note. That's how we get all our sibling aggression out.
I understand that.
No, really.
Just explore all the possibilities. That would be my advice.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you guys do your harmonies, you sit around and sing them and see what works and then what doesn't, and then off it goes?
Absolutely.
Yes. We have one rule, which is that no one has to sing a note that they don't want to sing.
Yeah, I always tell my choruses, if it sounds good, it is good. Make something up. If it works, if it doesn't, try something else.
I would go one further than that. I'd say, if it sounds good to me, it is good.
That was Terry.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Really great music. I love harmony. And hey, by the way, I'm also a classical music announcer on Public Radio East, and you know, we listen to you guys all the time. Great program in the afternoon.
Well, thanks very much for that. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. But a lot of people think, well, they're sisters. They've grown up singing together. All this must come instinctively. It must be a natural thing to fall into these harmonies. Yet I've read interviews with you where you say it's like a calculus homework.
Yes, I think it is like that. I mean, I never took calculus, but, you know, I think that because we're not really formally trained, maybe we come at it from a different way, but it really is math, so.
Not formally trained, so do you read music?
I think we're each at a different level than that, I being on the lowest level.
Well, we started late. I mean, we didn't have any music lessons as kids, but actually, it was really Paul Simon that sort of when Maggie and I, when he was working with us, he kind of said, you know, you guys should take some music lessons. And he had us study with, Maggie studied with a piano teacher and I studied with a guitar teacher. But by then we had already been playing for about 8 years. So we came in the back door, kind of.
In the back door. But I'm looking at Maggie on the piano. I could see you've got some notes there, but there's no sheet music, and there's no music at all in front of Suzzy and Terry. So you just remember all this stuff?
Well, these are words.
Those are words?
Yeah. To the song that we're going to sing next.
And we'll leave those words hanging. Well, we'll get to them in just a minute. In the meantime, let's get to another caller. This is Dottie. Dottie calling us from Florida.
Hello?
Hi, Dottie. You're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to know, I don't know much about music, but it sounds a little bit like Barbershop with the half tones that they're singing, and I'm wondering if they took anything from Barbershop, how close is it to that, or is it more like Appalachian Mountain music? Where does it fall, their harmony?
Well, I think we usually refer to it as roach music because we haven't really quite heard something like it. But I'm sure that it borrows from all of those kinds of traditions, you know.
And those two that you mentioned, I can see those definitely, those two, as being something that we sound like.
Yeah. Salon music as opposed to barbershop, maybe?
Salon, did you say?
Yeah.
Or salam?
No, salon. Why do you think it's barbershop, Dottie?
Oh, I just, I like barbershop music, and I read once that it's very, very difficult to sing because it's those half tones. It's not normal steps that you would normally sing in a harmony, and that what they're doing sounds very difficult also.
I think the word normal can be kind of jettisoned. Yeah. with respect
so
to our situation.
Yes, I think your observation is correct.
Thanks very much for the call, Dottie.
Thank you.
So long. Here's an email we have from Mark. How did you hook up with Leon Redbone for the song you recorded with him on his album From Red to Blue? Did he approach you or vice versa?
Well, we did a tour with Leon.
Sazzy, yeah.
And we're on the road with him, and I think it came right out of that experience.
That's right. We actually wrote a song for Bobby Gordon, who was playing the clarinet with Leon in Leon's band. We wrote a song called Bobby's Song for him. So we had a little season there of working with Leon and his guys.
All the people you've toured with, well, this is going to sound one of those crazy stories, but of the people you've toured with, you hear their act over and over and over again. Who would you go back to see?
Well, anyone who would put me on the guest list.
And that would be everybody, I assume.
Hopefully.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Casey in Jacksonville, Florida.
Good afternoon, Neil.
Go ahead, Casey.
May I say hello to one of my very favorite groups?
Oh, well, hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Fuzzy, I was very interested when you said that you did your harmonies with your eyes closed because I am totally visually impaired with perfect pitch, and I got your first album, and I have this memory. I fell asleep on Saturday night, and Saturday Night Live came on. And I remember waking up because I heard you guys going, ah, 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 and then you launched into the Hallelujah Chorus. I sat bolt upright, and I said, holy smoke, except I didn't say smoke. And, I mean, I really, flipped over that song, and I sure would love it if you could sing it.
Well, first of all, thanks for saying smokes in this situation.
And we thank you, too.
Family radio station.
We will definitely sing that song, especially for you.
Thank you. I'll take the rest of this off the air.
Okay, Casey. Thanks for the tune. Thanks for the phone call. And that will be up later in the show. So stay with us. But Saturday Night Live, again, this is pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But it was exciting and scary, because it's live television. Actually, somebody the week before, I think, had done something bad on the television. And so Lorne Michaels was standing in front of us with his arms crossed, looking at us like...
Sternly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is live, too.
I know.
And it's...
Are you...
Well, that's why Neil has those...
Why my arms are here crossed and I'm looking sternly at you in hopes that you won't say anything. We know you won't sing anything bad, but of all the appearances, I know you did The Tonight Show, too. I mean, that must be pretty scary
right.
as
with
well.
With Johnny Carson.
With Johnny Carson.
Twice.
Was Ed
Johnny
McMahon
Carson.
There?
Was what?
Ed McMahon there?
He must have been.
Yeah.
He must have been.
Hard. Sometimes you don't even notice him. But that's, going out to, I assume you would fly all the way to the coast to do that. Just that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as you're sitting there thinking, What do we perform? We've got X many million people watching us tonight. Maggie, do you remember the discussions about who was involved in making the decision about what you're going to sing?
I don't remember what we sang.
I remember what we sang the second time.
Well, right, because, you see, we had been on the David Letterman show.
Ah.
And we wrote a song called Big Nothing about being on television, which was actually about being on The Tonight Show the first time, but... Johnny Carson introduced it by saying it was about when we were on David Letterman show.
They're all like that, aren't they? Yeah. You're talking to the Roaches. They're with us live in Studio 4A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And how about another tune?
All right. This one is called No Shoes, and it's by our friend Paranoid Larry from New York City. It's on our very brand new CD called Moonswept. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I had no shoes and I complained until I met a man who had no feet. That's really beat. I had no feet and I complained until I met a man who had no knees. That was his disease. I had no knees and I complained until I met a man. And you know what?
He had no butt.
I had no butt and I complained about it all. And then I met a man who had no balls. I had no balls and I complained until I met a man who had no guts, no balls, no butt. And now no guts, I had no guts, and I complained until I met a man who had no heart. The most important part, I had no heart, and I complained, I did not understand. And then I met a man who had no hands, I had no hands, and I complained until I met a man who was a wreck.
He had no neck,
I had no neck. I complained until I met a man who had no chin. Some folks lose, some folks win. I had no chin and I complained until I met a man who had no nose.
That really blows.
I had no nose and I complained until I met a man who never cries. He had no eyes, I had no eyes, and I complained until I met a man who felt no pain.
He had no brain,
I had no brain, and I complained until I met a man who had no head. As good as dead, I had no head,
and I complained
until I met a man who had no hair.
Nothing there.
I had no hair and I complained until I met a man who had no hat. Picture that. Not even a hat.
I had no hat and I had complained
no
until
hat.
I met a man who had no sky.
No sky.
No reason why I had no sky
why?
And I complained until I met.
Stars. I had no stars and I complained until I met a man who had no God.
That's rather odd.
I had no God and I complained until I met a man who had no faith.
Nothing just in case.
I had no faith and I complained until I met a man who had no love.
Nothing to dream of.
I had no love and I complained until I met a man who had no hope.
At the end of his rope, I had no hope
and I complained until I met a man who had no luck.
That really sucks.
I had no luck and I complained that I had nothing left to lose. And then I met a man who had no.
Maggie Suzzi and Terry Roach here with us in Studio 4A. More music and more of your calls when we come back. Stay with us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today, a holiday concert with the Roaches. Across from me here in Studio 4A are Suzzi Roach on vocals and guitar, Terry Roach on vocals and guitar, and Maggie Roach on vocals, guitar, and joining us on the piano from time to time as well. The Roaches' latest CD is called Moonswept. You can find it in stores now, and you can sample some tracks at npr.org/talk. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. There's also a conversation underway on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And why don't we start this last segment with another tune?
All right. You know, I think we'd all like to say, just for all the people who have been listening for so many years, how much we really appreciate our fans, because they're the best. And here's one from our very, very first album called The Train, which I guess some people have been calling in requesting.
Train with my big pocket book, the guitar, and a sugar-free drink. Wipe the sweat off of my brow with the side of my arm, and I take off all that I can. I am trying not to have a bad day. Now everybody knows the way that is. Seat. I'm not trying to be funny, but the guy who sits down next to me is even bigger than that. We are overflowing out of the seat, and I can't look at him. He doesn't look at me. Once you step on, you might never get off of a commuter train. Doesn't go very far away, but just the same, it's a trip and a half. My face is pressed up against the window, and through it I can see the reflection of the train. I spy on a big guy sitting next to me. Drinking two beers and reading the New York Post, trying not to have a bad day. Now everybody knows the way that is. He is miserable and I am miserable. We are miserable. Can't we have a party? Would he rather have a party? After all, we have to sit here, and he's even drinking a beer. I want to ask him what's his name, but I can't, cause I'm so afraid of the man on the train. Once you step on, you might never get off of a commuter train. Doesn't go very far away, but just the same, it's a trip and a half. Give me off the train, get us off the train. Oh.
Maggie Suzzi and Terry Roach singing, am I correct, about the joys of the New Jersey transit system?
Yes, the commuter train.
Yes, yes. I regret it to say I've ridden it, and I would have killed for a copy of the New York Post. here's an email we got from Wes in Charlotte. Anyone who's been listening to the Roaches for a while knows that you're saying their names incorrectly. It is Maggie and Terry and Suzzy, as in their Wee Song, which is one of your famous tunes. I have to say, I've been saying Maggie, Suzzy, and Terry because they're in that order from left to right. So that's MST. If I go 3K, I can remember that they're in that order, and I'll remember to say the right name, the right person. So that's the reason I've been saying that way. Here's another one from Marianne in Auburn, New York. I've been following your career since you left Park Ridge. I'm delighted to hear you on Talk of the Nation. I spent my day yesterday decorating my tree to Handel, Mozart, and your We Three Kings album. Thanks for years of great music, and thanks to Maggie, who let me sing with her in spite of my horrible voice in a talent contest at Immaculate Heart Academy. So, glad to know you're a judge of talent as well, Maggie. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Let's go to, this is Nathan. Nathan with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
All right.
I love you, Roaches, for your music and for your insightful humor. I'm interested in the cross-pollination with Robert Fripp musically, and I've always credited Sussy for the only time I ever saw Ted Koppel uncomfortable on Nightline. Do I credit that correctly?
It could be. There were a couple of them that on TV. TV, you know, like they said about me, I have a face for radio.
They've said that about me, too. What did you do to Ted Koppel?
You know, I don't remember.
I bet he does.
Tom Snyder was the one who really freaked out.
Snappy Tom Snyder?
I think it might have been Tom Snyder. Is it possible that you're confusing it with Tom Snyder?
Absolutely not. I was working at an ABC affiliate and had to watch Ted every day.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, what happened on the Tom Snyder show?
It was a very bright spot to see you make him stumble.
All right, Nathan, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks. What about the Fripp?
Oh, the Fripp. Robert Fripp of King Crimson fame.
He claims that he saw us at first at the Bottom Line in New York, where one of the critics, John Rockwell, had told him to come and see us, and he claimed that we ignored him when he spoke up to see us. I didn't know who he was at the time, but I sure do now.
He did produce the first album?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it was a really unusual collaboration because people expected, when they saw that he was producing it, they expected something, you know, kind of bombastic and big and, you know. And so there was a lot of sort of head scratching that went on there. But we were actually very compatible. One of the things that he did, which I will always appreciate him for, is that he took us into the studio and had us sit around just like we're doing right here. And he said, and we were saying, well, aren't we going to get a band to play with us? And he said, no, this is what you do. That's what the record should be.
And that record did pretty well.
That was our biggest selling record, I think.
Thanks very much for the call, Nathan.
Thank you.
All right, now let's follow up. What happened on Tom Snyder?
Well, what I don't really remember what happened on Tom
He's
Snyder.
Dead now. But you can talk about
afterwards, we got a letter from somebody that said, I'd please like a tab of whatever you were on when you were on Tom Snyder. So something must have happened.
Let's see if we get another caller in. And I'm presumably pushing the wrong button. Let's see if we can try another one. Nope. Let's see if we can do it this way. We have redundancy here. And Mike is on the line. Mike is with us from Ithaca, New York.
Hi, Neil. Hi, girls. This is really great music. It doesn't get any better what you do, and that's true since the 60s. And I wanted to comment on something that Nancy Griffith once said when they were interviewing her with Sonny Curtis, when they did the original song that the Everly Brothers had covered 30 years before they did the uncovered version for the first time, and that was Walk Right Back. And Nancy was saying that when siblings sing, they can, two of them can do three-part harmony just with the overtones, but when people who aren't siblings together, Nancy said it sounds very spatial, and she meant spatial, not special. And
or spacey, yeah.
Pardon?
Or spacey, yeah.
Yeah, she meant spacey, I guess. But it takes a third person to fill in the middle part. And I was thinking maybe there's an evolutionary reason for this. It's very important for animals to be able to recognize their siblings if they separated since birth and they find each other again. And maybe before people could talk, they sang and they would recognize long-lost siblings this way.
That's but, right up my alley, that theory. I like that.
Yes. Go ahead, Terry.
That's a beautiful thought,
yeah.
Actually.
I certainly illustrate what sibling singing can do. It sounds as good now as it did in, I think, when did I first hear you guys? When you were on that morning show, the Today Show in New York City in the mid-60s. That was the first time I heard you guys.
Wow, that's great. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Keep up what you're doing. I couldn't ask for more.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Actually, somebody told me it's kind of like the way that people in the same family might have the same shaped nose. And so you'd have the same shaped vocal cords.
Hmm. And
that was a kind of showstopper there, wasn't
it? Yeah, it sure did.
Somebody jump in.
There are many people in my family are thrilled that they do not have the same shaped nose. But have you talked to music theorists about the harmonies that you do? I mean, has anybody come in? You know what you do is, you know, and has anybody ever explained it to you, or have you ever asked anybody about it?
Yes. I live with someone who's a genius music theorist and piano player, Gary Dial. And we talk about it actually when we first met some 17 years ago. He had never heard of the Roaches, and when he listened to the music, he sort of would describe certain things. And I remember one time there was a song that he heard, and he said, "You would never have done that if you went to music school." It's about a certain harmony that mm-hmm. was going on.
Because you would have been told never to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing a lot of things they were told never to do right here, live, on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Of our specialty.
As we mentioned, we've asked listeners to email and call us in with requests, and we've had several on the show already, but the winner was the Hallelujah Chorus. So why don't we go to that?
Okay.
Forever and ever, King of Kings.
And she shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Maggie Suzzi and Terry Roach with us here in Studio 4A. Their most recent CD is Moonswept, and they are appearing on tour. Where do you go from here?
We're going out to the Midwest.
And for a couple of weeks, or you just go on weekends now?
Just really for the next, right up until Christmas. And then we're going to Florida.
And too. Florida, that's a good place to go in January.
Yeah.
Mistake. I think
December.
They actually booked you for Medicine Hat that month. Anyway, thanks so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
Oh, what a pleasure.
You. Our thanks also to Rob Byers, our technical director, for this performance. He got help today from Drew Reynolds and from Jake Widoff. You can hear more tunes from the Roaches on our website at npr.org/talkofthenation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
In excelsis Deo.